Okay, we're going to do Halacha Hey today. We'll start it anyhow. We'll do part one of Halacha Hey. And it goes like this. Yen Yermanim, Shemarchim Lurfua. If they sell pomegranate wine, Lurfua, it has some medicinal value. Mutulacha Mehatagar, you could buy it from a merchant. Afil Shlame Achavis, even if it's not from the barrel. Afavisha Dama of Yikar Mehayayin. These are all the things that were mentioned in the previous Halachas, that all kinds of cases where you usually could not buy fruit juice from a guy because you chosh that he mixed wine into it. But in this case, you could. Even though it has everything going against it, like this easiest one is that it's more expensive than wine, so it's easier to dilute it with regular grape wine. Why could you buy it? Mishum de Isbe Kapeda. Because the merchant is very machbid. He is machbid to only give you that thing because it was for medicinal purposes. Lemar Nafshi, so he won't do something against his trade. We'll talk about what that means in a few minutes. So you could be sure that he's giving you pure yen reminim because he wouldn't mix wine into it because it has this medicinal properties to it, and he's very particular to give you the right thing. And the Ramah says, that the Ramah says, and also, anything else, you always have this rule of Uman Lamar Nafshe, that we could trust someone and he's an Uman and he's giving you something, then you could be sure that he's giving you the right thing.
Okay. How many times do you see scandals?
So that we're
going to speak a medicine company did a recall.
So that's going to be more next time we're going to talk about that. But yes, we will get to that part of it. Okay, but for now we're going to believe it. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about it like this. There's more than four, but we're going to talk about four particular cases in Shulchan Aruch where this rule seems to come up. Okay, and we're going to try to understand the rules of when we could or cannot use those that rule Uman Lamar Nafshe. And then we're going to have two contemporary examples. The most examples of Shulchan Aruch are not going to be ones that we're going to sort of relate to, but we're going to have two practical examples afterwards, and we're going to see, once we figure out rules, we're going to see if they apply to those cases. Okay? So the first case was what Shulchan Aruch says right by us. Okay? Yain Remainim, pomegranate juice, okay, it had some medicinal value, and Shulchan Aruch said you could be samech that Uman Lamar Nafshe is giving you pure pomegranate juice. Okay.
Yen Yermanim is not.
Yen. What's the difference in yen?
Really, it's fermented.
Well, way back when at the beginning, I remember telling you that yain doesn't mean fermented. Yain means just the juice of a fruit. Whether he meant fermented or not is not so important to us. He probably did because theirs would spoil. Okay, they didn't have pasteurization.
Make but for medicinal use or for just
for medicinal purposes.
Just
a nice bottle to feed them. Okay. They claim it has all kinds of health benefits. Yeah. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. Now, but a more contemporary example of the Shulchan Aruch is talking about that it makes you better, all kinds of health. Right? So that's their claim. I'm not sure about that. Okay. Now, an example of exactly that thing is castor oil. Okay, castor oil.
Oh, it disappeared.
That it was supposed to. Castor oil. Because it's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's castor oil is something else also. It's a very unusual oil. And we assume that it comes. That was a bad example. Okay. Anyhow, they're oils that we assume that they come. Yeah, it was a bad example. Okay, let's skip that. Good, it disappeared. Okay, so we have a pomegranate wine. Okay, number two. Hilchos Tzitzis. Okay, Hilchos Tzitzis. In Hilchos Tzitzis, the machabes is like this. A guy comes to sell you a talis, and he says that the tzitzis that are on there were made l'shma. Okay, the tzitzis were made l'shma. So the din is, if he's a merchant and this is like his business, then you're allowed to believe him because he's lemar nafshe to give you the tzitzis that are fake. Okay, his business is to sell you tzitzis, and if he gives you strings that are not made l'shma, if he fools you, it's lemar nafshe. We'll say what that means in a few minutes, and therefore you're allowed to believe him.
Even though this is, you can't tell.
So I'll get that in a second. Okay. Number three. Okay. Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos. In Siman Pei Vav, Shulchan Aruch says like this. If you have an egg, a regular egg in the street, it's assumed to come from a chicken, and chicken eggs are kosher, so you can buy it. Okay. You can just walk into the street and go into the supermarket and buy an egg, and you assume it's kosher. That's one halacha. But what happens if someone comes to you with an unusual egg, like this one over here, okay, and he comes to you and he says to you, this egg is a turkey egg. In fact, that's what it is. Okay, he says to you, that's a turkey egg. And I'm telling you it comes from a kosher bird, so the din is like this. If he just tells you it's a kosher egg, you're not allowed to believe him. But if he tells you that, and he's a person who should know, he's a tzayid, he should know, and he tells you this is a turkey egg, then the din is, you're allowed to believe him. And it says because the guy's afraid of being caught. If I come tomorrow with another turkey egg, I go to a turkey and I actually see it lay an egg, and it doesn't look like this one, then I'm going to know that he tricked me.
Turkey's kosher bird.
Turkey's kosher bird. Yeah, turkey's kosher bird. That's why I picked it. I had a really much better egg to put on there. I had a much better egg, a really much more beautiful egg to put on there, but I tried to put one that was clearly kosher. Okay, so the the Mepharshim over there explained that it's because of Ulam Arnash. Okay, this tzayin is afraid of being caught. That you'll show him a specific bird. Okay, but now in this case, the egg, we don't believe him unless it was he tells you what type of bird it comes from, so you potentially catch him. Okay, and our last case is Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, if you go to someone who's a tailor and he tells you I'm going to sell you this suit, and the suit has I sewed the shukharos concerned with how they sewed what threads they used to sew. He says if I sewed it with hemp instead of sewing it with linen, so the din is you don't believe him. You don't believe the guy that he sold it with hemp. It's easier to sew with linen. That's what Shacharach says. It's easier to sew with linen than with hemp, and therefore hemp in Shacharach is cannabis, the way we pronounce it, marijuana. But anyhow, hemp is a nice way to say it. So he says he sold it with hemp. So we don't believe him. Now the Rama says there's a test to tell whether the string is hemp or linen. Okay, there's a test by lighting it on fire. The test is not important. There is a test. The Rama says, but we don't believe him. But if you hand him the hemp thread when you order the suit, you say to him, please make the suit with the suit with this thread, then you do believe him. And do you believe him? Because of Umul Amar Nafshe. Okay, so why over here do we believe him? If I hand him the thread, then I believe him. If he just sells me the suit and he tells me it's made with hemp thread, what's the difference? Why is it Umul Amar Nafshe? Either we should believe the Umul or we shouldn't believe him. But why do we, but if I hand him the thread, we believe him. If I buy the suit and he tells me, no, it's made with hemp, then we don't believe him. Okay, so we're going to try to understand. We'll see. I'm not going to tell you answers. I'm going to tell you six answers in Paiskim to explain all the differences between these cases. They don't all talk about all the cases, but to explain these differences. And then we're going to see how we apply them to two specific cases. Okay, the two specific cases that we're going to talk about are the following. Now, these cases, these over here, are not ones that we're going to run into on a regular daily basis. You know, how many times are you going to bang into a tzayid who's going to tell you he has a turkey egg? Okay, that's not a
census without a reliable answer.
A tzitzis without a reliable hefsher from a tiger. You say, but most of us wouldn't buy from a guy. Usually, when we're buying tzitzis, we're buying it from a Jewish person.
Yeah, but he got it from him. He's got it from us.
It's not shaylah of nemanus over there. No, it's not shaylah of nemanus over there. The shaylah here is of nemanus. When the person tells you, I got it from the yid who's reliable, then if he says, I got it, if a yid tells me that, I believe him. If a guy tells.
He doesn't know. He bought it on Amazon, so you're looking at it. And
okay, so but you have to, we'll talk about this next time. You have to find the tiger. Then he tells you nothing. He just says, I don't know, beats me. I just bought it on the.
You don't think that's called a tiger?
If what? Okay, we're going to talk about that next time. Okay, we'll talk about that next time. Mitzvah Shem next time. Okay, so now, our two cases that we have are the following. Okay, two of our cases are the following. One is, what the title of was, Pesach Medicine List. What does that mean is, when somebody wants to make a list of which medicines and cosmetics and over-the-counter medicines are okay for Pesach. How does he do that? How do they do that? They go to the company, they send them a letter, and they say, well, they call them up, and they say, please tell me whether there's chametz in this part of your medicine. And the company responds and tells them, yes, there is or no, there's not. And then they make a list that tells you which things you could take, you can't take. Okay, that's how these types of medicine lists are made. So the reason why they're believing them, the people who are telling them are not Jewish. So why do they have nemanus? The answer is because Umul Amar Nafshe. They say, well, this is a quality control department of a company. If they tell me something, we should believe them because of Umul Amar Nafshe. Okay? This is not the way we do our medicine list. Our list is really not like that at all. Our list says these things don't need hashgacha for Pesach, we do need. And the ones that do, we look at the ingredients, and there's nothing that could possibly be chametz, then we allow it. So we're a different style. Okay, but the more common style is what I'm showing you on the screen, is that they ask the company questions, the company gives them information, excuse me, and based on that, they tell you what you could and can't use, assuming that it's Umul Amar Nafshe. Okay? The other one is bag lettuce, okay? That the Hashkacha did the following. Okay? I don't believe they do this anymore, that Hashkacha. Okay? They did the following. They came to a company and they saw that their washing system gets rid of bugs. They cut up and wash the lettuce, and it gets rid of bugs. But they made a cheshbon. Okay, it's not important how they came to this understanding. They made a cheshbon that says, if a head of lettuce comes in, I'm making up the number, if the head of lettuce comes in with more 3 bugs or more, the washing system won't get it clean. If it comes in with 3 bugs or less, then the washing system will get it clean. Okay? It's not important to us how they made that determination. But then they decided, check it when it comes in, before it was ever washed. If it has more than a certain amount of bugs, it's not going to work. If it has less, then it's going to work. And what they did is, they say to the company, you check the lettuce when it comes in, and depending on how clean it was when it came in, you'll decide whether to put our logo onto it or not. Okay? So there wasn't a mashgiach checking that part. The company was making that decision, how dirty, how many bugs were coming in. Now, the company, the hashgacha, would check that the company was accurate, meaning when they wrote down on paper that there were 4 bugs, then they didn't put a logo on. They would watch those paper afterwards, and they would buy bags at random in the store and open them up and see if it was working. Were they actually coming out clean? Okay, so they were checking up on them afterwards, but basically the determination was being made by the company. Okay, and the company was given a rule. They said, check how many bugs are coming in, using this as the method, and if it's under a certain amount, then we know the clean is going to get rid of them, and if it's over a certain amount, then we won't let them. Okay, and their thinking was, the same thing. It was Umulam or nothing. The person in the company who's doing this kind of checking has a certain professional pride or professional outlook of how he does things. So they wanted to trust this person who was not Jewish and say he can make that determination to decide whether it should or shouldn't have a hashgacha.
They checked the end product.
They checked randomly end product. So? They checked end product to see were those people.
I know about that. That means that Yisrael himself has a plan.
But the Yisrael, you know the din is. The Rambam says, you're not going to just sample things since aren't they good enough. You can't just make
it. It's not just a sample. They set up a wash process. There's a wash process.
But the wash process only works sometimes.
Yeah.
So how do you... So let's say 100 bags they make a week, 50 have hashgacha, 50 don't. So it doesn't always work. It only works sometimes. Who decides whether this was a good batch or a bad batch? So they're leaving it up to that person to decide because of Umul Marashi. Okay, so that's a question. Should we let Umul Marashi in that case? Okay. So those are... our 2 cases we're going to try to compare to the 4 cases that the Pesukim speak about. Okay? Now, there's one more case, okay? There's one more case. And that is... Did you miss it? It was really great.
Do that again.
I can do it again. Okay. One more case. And that is tuna fish. Okay? In Mirtz Hashem, we're going to talk about... In Mirtz Hashem, we get to Halacha Yud. We're going to talk about tuna fish. That tuna fish is another example where Hashgachas say we trust the someone who's not Jewish to decide to only put tuna... only put kosher fish into the cans, and not to put tray fish into the cans. And they're trusting them because of Umul Marnafshin, because they have a whole system, and very, for their quality purposes, it's important to only get tuned into there. So, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to talk about the Halacha Yud. Okay, it's a special din Halacha Yud. We'll get to that. Whether in that case, should we apply Umul Marnafshin? Okay? But for today, we're going to talk about these 4 cases in Shukhnach, and 2 cases that are, I call, contemporary cases. Okay? Now, as I mentioned a few times, there's going to be 6 shot them in that poiskim. Okay, in Mirtz Hashem, today we're going to do 3. And for next time, we'll do 3 and then talk about other factors that have rolling through us. Okay? Before we do the answers, I need to tell you something from the Bishis. Okay? Well, and before I tell you the Bishis, I'll tell you the Prichodesh. Okay, the Prichodesh asks some of the questions that I just mentioned. And he leaves it hanging. He says, I want to tell you. He says, how come it is that in our halacha we see umel marnafshe, and by shatnes we don't? Okay, the Prichodesh is an earlier person who mentioned this question, and I want to show you what the Beis Yosef says. Okay, the Beis Yosef in our siman, he says like this. He's talking about whether we should believe a guy about the yen reminder. So he says, if you want to buy a yen reminder from a guy, so he says yes, you can, because since they sell the refuah, the ika kepeda in the sarav boy chaimitz. There's a kapeh that they mix in vinegar. I don't know why they keep them in vinegar. So her, they mean to say it's wine. I'm not sure why. I think Shkorach even said wine. Yeah, he talks about wine. I'm not sure what the chaimitz part of it is. But anyhow, but even though there's a possibility they could have put in something from Stam Yain, you don't have to worry about it because there's a kapeh to make sure it in. So you could buy it. You could buy
the kapeh and the kapeh.
We're going to talk about that. The assumption, the simple reading is that the guy has the kapeh on it.
Yeah, it's
a simple, understandable. We'll see some
stuff. It's not
right. It's a medicine. It's not going to work if you put in the wrong stuff. Obviously, the yin yomim is the medicine. Right. If I give you something else, that's not the medicine. It says, and therefore, the kol ika, the kol hecha the ika lemikle tvei, avodin also. When they're very makbid on something, then he's lemor nafshe, and he ends off with Even though there's no way for you to tell, we say umma nora nafshe. Okay, now before we go on to our
a wine test.
What do you think?
Unless you think it's a wine test.
What does that mean, a wine test?
To analyze.
Do you mean it? Can we do gas chromatography? Well, I mean, we could, but the Shulchan couldn't do anything like that. The Mishnah didn't have any way to test it. He didn't have any way to know it. Now, so the question I guess, before we go on, does the Mishnah mean that literally? When he says, the symbol ring is let go and make them all, there's no way to tell what happened. If he meant literally, let go and make them all, there's mamash no way to tell, then what does it mean, umal maranafshi? What does it mean that he's loy maranafshi? There's no way in the world it could affect his parnasa. Okay, so then loy maranafshi would just mean is something like a professional pride. He has a certain way he does business. He went to school for 99 years to become a pharmacist, and therefore, to him, he has a certain. He would never give something out that's not pure.
No, he's going to lose his business.
So you're saying that you really can find it out, but the customers can't find it. Okay, but I'm saying, so if he meant it literally, if mom is literally let go, there's no way to catch him, then we have to give a different explanation to what umul nomar nafshi means. Okay, my assumption was that either because someone could catch him, there's always a far out possibility someone could catch him, or simpler was, is that if you go to the pharmacy and they give you this medicine, and people don't get better, you'll stop going to that pharmacy. So I won't know what's wrong with it. I'm not going to know if it was wine mixed in or what's going on. Something's fishy about the pharmacy. Everybody else who has ingrown toenails who drinks pomegranate wine gets better, and we don't get better when we go to the store. Okay, whatever it's supposed to heal, it's not working. So with time, the lekla nekla with them would just mean if we can't, no one's going to catch him exactly on this thing, but eventually it's going to affect his parnasa. Okay, most of us think of umul nomar nafshi as in he doesn't want to affect his parnasa. If I mess up, if I cheat people and they catch me, then I'm going to lose on my parnasa. That's how we usually think of it. And that the lekla nekla doesn't mean as strongly as it sounds. Okay, let's go. So now, today we're going to do. We're going to have, as you see, there's room here for six cheetahs. Okay, we have our six cases.
Nice.
Our six cases. We did that already before. You missed it before. He bounced before. So we have our six cases.
Not a potato.
It's an egg. It's a turkey egg. Okay, so we have our six cases we have to explain. Okay, four cases. The first one is Shulchan Aruch and the two of our own cases. And we're going to have six cheetahs that we're going to fill in over there. Okay, but for today, we're just going to do one of them, okay? So I'm not going to tell you that yet. Okay, we're going to do the first one. Okay, and today, we're going to do three answers from the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, the Chacham Tzvi gives three answers. Just to me, I don't know. Maybe to you, it's not interesting. To me, it was, he says, in the middle, he says, you know, there's this new sefer that came out called Pri Chadash, and they asked the following question. And so here's what I have to say about that, like, you know? So, you know, we don't think of the Pri Chadash as being like a new sefer, you know? He was in, you know, he walked into this farm store and he saw this new sefer. But anyhow, okay. So the Chacham Tzvi is talking about the following case. This is the story that came to him. They had an animal go shechted, and they marked the animal's kosher. Okay, they put a simen onto the animal that was kosher. And then what happens is in a shechit is at a certain point you cut the animal in half. Okay, well they forgot to mark the second half as kosher. Okay, so what happened was they now had two halves of an animal, well, they had many halves of animals, one half was marked as kosher, and they couldn't figure out which was the other half of this animal. Okay? There was another half that was kosher, and they didn't know which one it was. Okay? So the one of the goyim who was working there, one of the butchers who was working there, was able to figure out that he said, this belongs to this one, and I could show you that they match with each other. You could see how it matches one side to the other side. Okay, so he wanted. So the shaila was: should they believe him? Should they believe him that because of umul nomar nafshi that he's telling them the truth that they match?
Why okay, the chicken themselves.
So the beginning of the tshuva is about whether the fact that they match proves that it is. Okay, that's not our relevant to us. Okay, you can see the beginning of the tshuva if you want to see. It's not relevant to us.
But this is not his illness. I'm saying
it is his illness.
No, what I mean is he's a butcher, of course, but creating these, let's say, a tailor, things like that, that's his illness
mm-hmm.
that he's producing.
Correct.
But here, it's just a question in his...
So, very good point. I'm getting exactly that. Very good. I'm going to say, the Chamsi is going to say that. Just give me a second. So the question just is, should we believe in this Umulam or Nafshi? The butcher says, I know that these two are a match, should we believe in them? Okay? So the Chacham Tzvi says that it's not going to work. Okay? And his first answer is, what Jackson just said. His first answer is, we only say Umulam or Nafshi when it has something to do with his specific umness. So he says, for example, in the case of the pharmacist who's selling you pomegranate wine, okay, his umness is making medicines that make people better. So if he tells you that this is pomegranate wine, that's his umness, is to give you the right medicine, and then we can believe him. That's a reason to believe him. He says, that has nothing to do with a butcher. He says, he doesn't say this, but if the butcher would tell you that this is a specific cut, he says, this is a brisket, okay, that's his umness, to know cuts of meat. He even tell you, is it beef or lamb? That's his umness, to know meat. His umness is not to be able to match pieces of meat together with each other. So for that, he says, we're not going to say umulam ranafshim. Okay, now, those are the cases. He only talks about that case of yin reminim, but the case of eggs will work well with what he said. Okay, which is to say like this. When the woman comes and says to me, I know birds, and this is a turkey egg, okay, so then that's his umness. His umness is he's a tzayid, he's a person who knows birds and he knows that they're eggs. So when he comes and tells me that this is a turkey egg, then we should say umulam ranafshi. If he just tells me it's a kosher egg, that's worthless. Okay, he's not putting his umness on the line. When he says, I know this is a turkey egg, well, that's your umness. You're supposed to know which eggs come from which ones. So then he should be believed. Okay? But the cases of tzitzis and shatnas are not so clear. Okay? When the person tells you that the tzitzis were made with shema, what does it do with his umness? Okay, that's not his umness. His umness is to be a salesman. He sizes you properly. He tells you something about to tell you that this thing is made lishma. I didn't see how that was. That's the umness of the person who's selling it to you.
He's selling it.
What?
He's claiming that he's selling you kosher.
So that's his umness.
Yeah, his umness is to make.
No,
sure
he's telling you the truth. No. When the guy's selling you meat, he's also telling you the truth.
Umness is a high quality product.
Yeah.
In this regard, quality refers to the richness.
So, but what what's his? He has no umness to making quality.
Umness is selling high quality products.
Okay, and
that's your kosher.
But why his umness? That's his honesty. He didn't make it. He didn't say, I'm a guy who knows how to make threads, and I made the threads a certain way.
I'm a trustworthy salesman, and I'm willing to sell you kosher things.
No, everybody who's telling you something is telling you you should trust me, and if you, like the butcher, if he won't be honest, you won't work with him in the future. So, no, that's not enough. It's not his own, it's not being put on the line. It's not enough to say that, it's not enough to say, just because if I don't tell you the truth, you won't come back as a customer. That's not enough. It has to be my ownness on the line.
So I don't see why the turkey guy also didn't say that he made the eggs.
No, but he's saying, I'm telling you.
Because I'm proficient in this area.
In eggs, I know.
I know, this is what I do. The same thing over here. I know that Jewish people, they only accept if they've made the Shema. And this is my profession, and therefore I'm...
And I know that Jewish people only want kosher meat also, right? And therefore, if this is not from the right piece...
This guy's not a butcher. He's a tzayid.
Right. No, I'm saying back to the guy who cut the meat. The guy at the butcher, he's an Uman.
No, he's a butcher. But over here, he's not saying that I know this is a kosher thing. He's just saying, what he is saying is that these two match.
Right.
So that's a different thing that he's recognizing. But it's not something that he can go on.
Okay, maybe you'll say that. Okay, maybe you'll understand the case of tzitzis. Now, but tell me then, why not in the case of shatnas? In the case of shatnas. If the guy tells me that it was made with hemp thread, okay, he's a tailor. So I understand the case where I give him the hemp and we believe him, I understand that. Because it's his umness to sew clothing a certain way. I get that. I understand why that's in his umness. But why not if he made it himself? Why do I have to give him the thread? Well, if he made it himself, why am I believing that also? Why isn't it also his umness to tell me that I made suits a certain way? I heard that way more than the tzitzis guy. He made the suit. And he tells you, I made it a certain way. So why wouldn't he give him that?
No.
Because other pshatim that explain when we do or don't say umulam ranafshi will make more or less sense. I'm saying in this pshat, I don't hear it so well. Okay, now, we may have an answer in a minute. Okay, but for now, I'm leaving that hanging on that. Okay, so now let's apply that to our two cases, our Pesach medicine and our vegetables. Okay, over there, both people are, the guy telling you about his medicine and the person telling you about the vegetables are their job, not the company. The company's job is to make medicinal products, and this company's job is to make lettuces that don't rot and they taste good. But the guys in quality control, that's their business, is to watch purity and and all kinds of fine details like this of exactly the kind of things you're asking them, which is, what are the ingredients made of? What are this made? Are there bugs or are there not bugs? Those are exactly the kinds of things that are right in their skill set. That's what they're supposed to do, those people. So then I hear saying, Umulamar Nafshi, in that case. If the rule is, it depends on, are they putting their umness on the line? Seemingly they are, okay? They're telling you...
I don't care about the bugs that we care about.
I'm not talking about whether they care, but when they're reporting something that's based on their umness, that's their skill, is to check for bugs. They check for
big bugs.
No, so we teach them how to check for the bugs. It's not like
that's why we don't accept that method. We're just talking inside the
end. No. The question is, should we say umul or nafshe? Should we say in this case umul or nafshe?
If they're not supposed to look out for them, then in college they didn't learn about it, so it's not their skill set.
It's I don't know about that. If let's say somebody comes to a company, you work in quality control, okay? And now they come up with a new thing, we have to worry about peanut allergies. I never learned about that in school. Well, I get up to speed. You teach me how to look for peanut allergies,
yeah,
and I look for them.
Because it's accepted in industry that this is an issue.
Right.
No one in the secular world cares about the bugs that we care about.
Therefore what?
So, but that's not as
but they care about kosher. They care about the symbol, not to lose the symbol.
No, I'm not coming from kosher or from that. I'm coming from his illness is to report accurately on these.
He's not going to feel bad. He doesn't know what a kosher bug is.
No, it's not a question if he feels it. The question is, will it reflect poorly on him? If we came back and found him that he was letting things through, we'd say to him, what kind of a guy are you who's supposed to be checking for quality and you didn't even notice
that's not a bug.
No, that's not true, because for the rabbi who I'm reporting back, that is. I know that I was supposed to look at that, just like, okay, that's all I hear. Now, you don't have to like my lines the way I put them. Okay? In my chart, no, you can disagree. I'm okay with that. And the way I chart it like this, I put the green boxes show where it seems to me like that sheet that agrees is consistent with the din. Okay, it seems to go well with the din, and the orange is where it's not so clear. It wasn't so clear to me how that fits with the din. And then in the two cases, of course, where it's not a din, I checked, or X, depending on whether I thought you should, whether or not you should apply in that case or not. Okay?
What's the dot?
The dot means is he actually speaks about that case. Okay, the Chachamti actually speaks about the case that Yain reminded him and explains why his sheet is here. Okay? That's the first answer. Okay, number two is the second Chachamti's answer. He says like this. He says, we say umulamar nafshe when the, he says, he picks up on the fact that the Beis Yosef says when the person is ikal and mikbetalei tfeah, I'm not saying the words right, when you're very makbet. So the Chacham Tzvi says, we say umulamar nafshe when it's the main thing that you asked him about. If you ask him about, this is what I want, if I ask the Yain, remind him, I didn't come into the pharmacy and say I was thirsty, give me a drink. I said, I need medicine to make me better. Clearly what I'm looking for is the Yain, remind him. And that's the only thing that I could be looking for. So if it's the main thing I'm asking for, then it's important, I would say important to the customer, but for both of them now it becomes important to answer this accurately, and therefore, in that case, we believe the Uman. Okay? Which is to say is, when you go to the tailor, when you go to the tailor and tell him you want a suit, okay? So your main goal that you want is you want a piece of clothing. The Uman knows good and well that it's important to you that it should not have shotness in it. That's important. But that's not the first thing. You didn't walk in and say, hi, can I have some non-shotness? Okay? If you want the non-shotness, you're gonna want a potato. Okay? But you came and you said, can I have a suit? And the shotness is a secondary thing, which he agrees. Chamsi, I understand that it's important to you, but it's not the main thing you ask for. You only see umul amar nafshe on the main thing. So, for example, the way I understand it is, when the person came in and handed the threads to the tailor, he walked in and said, use my thread, which is a really strange thing. People don't walk into tailors with their own thread. You might come in with fabric, but your own thread is really pushing it. So, if I walk in, show that for me, this is primary importance. Okay, then that's showing that it will make me look fake. Okay, for that, I'm very particular about my thread. At least in my mind, I don't know if that's how it was, 500 years ago, but in my mind, people don't walk into a tailor with their own thread. So that shows that extra effort. But I just walk in and say, can I have a suit? Does it have hemp? That's secondarily important. And the Chacham says, we don't say umul or nafshe if it was the secondary thing that you wanted. Only if it's the main thing you want. Okay? Now.
Even though the guy knows that.
Even though he knows it's important to me.
No, not just that's important, but that it's...
It's worthless, right? I wouldn't buy the suit if it was shattered. It's worthless to me, even so, but it's not the main thing. Okay? But here I hear a chilek between hand him the thread and him just telling about it, because when I hand him the thread, I'm obviously it's super ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You're walking in with your own stuff. Okay, so now. If we would say that about the medicine and the vegetables, okay, and our two cases that we have over here, the medicine and the vegetables, of course we're going to say umul marnafik, because the rabbi, the whole reason why he came to you is he doesn't want to help himself solve his baldness problems. Okay? He didn't come to you for that. He came and said, tell me if the stuff is kosher for Pesach. Or the rabbi for the vegetables, he's not here for salad, he's here to say, tell me if there are bugs in here. That's obviously what he came to ask about. So, going to this answer that comes to you, if what you asked about is, if that's the main thing, then you could trust the umul, then the medicine and the lettuce are good.
So okay. With the medicine, I just want to make sure I understand, what are they asking the
manufacturer? They say, is this thing chametz?
Does it contain X, Y, and Z?
Right. So if I came and I said, I'm a rabbi, people are going to want to know whether stuff is chametz, can you tell me if there's chametz in here? Obviously, that's my question. There isn't any secondary, I couldn't care less about the medicinal properties, I'm obviously for only one thing, so you'd believe them. Okay? Now.
And according to that, also, if you would go to the tailor after you made you the suit and you ask him specifically, does this have...
No, that's not enough. Because right. They also... No, because you that shows that it's important to you. But it's not the main thing you came in.
No,
you
want, I can't come in now and I say, I want you to make me a suit. I don't say, I'm giving this to my wife. I want you to make me a suit without chattels.
No, so the Chamsi says, you ask for a suit. And there's a condition that I want a suit that has no shatnas. I ask for a suit that should be blue, and you give me a red suit, I'm not going to like it either.
So then the same thing with the pomegranate juice. I come in and I say, well, pomegranate juice, that will make me feel better.
No. You walked in totally for medicine. You came in for medicine. You didn't come in for a drink. You came in because you need medicine. If you give me, the only thing that I care about is the pomegranate juice. That's the only thing that I care about. If you give me the wrong thing, I'm not here because I'm thirsty. I don't want to drink.
He's giving you pomegranate.
No, he's not. He's giving only 90%.
Okay, so
that is not pure. No, because the medicine is pure pomegranate juice. If you don't give me pure pomegranate juice,
then it's not usable as medicine. Pomegranate juice is like
No, I don't see that. It's not the medicine. The medicine is pomegranate juice. You're giving me not pomegranate juice. You give me fruit juice. You can argue. I'm okay. I can hear that. I get to put it onto the screen, but you can argue with me. I'm okay with that. Okay, so now, when I understand now, according to this, I understand why the person selling tzitzis, you believe the tagor, because a person who buys a talus, okay, is obviously only here for a mitzvah. He's not doing it because he's cold and he wants to buy a piece of clothing. The guy who buys a talus, the only thing on his mind is being given to the mitzvah. Okay, that's all he cares about. There's no other purpose. It's not a piece of clothing that you don't want to be shot in. The only thing you want is that it should be kosher for the mitzvah. So that's obviously on top of my mind is this kosher for mitzvah. Okay? So the egg case, I'm not so clear about. Okay, about the egg case. Why did...
Tell me what's briefly. What was that?
The person shows you an egg and tells you it comes from a kosher bird. Okay? No. Not a regular egg. Not a chicken egg. This is a turkey egg. Okay? So now, the egg case I'm not so clear about. Okay? The egg case I'm not clear about. When a person comes in and asks and buys an egg, okay, what's the main motivation? What's the top of their list when they come and ask for an egg? If the person...
I'm sorry. Did your phone just ring again?
No. Why is the person buying an egg? So I would think a person buys an egg because he's hungry. He wants to eat something. Okay, the specific type of egg that he wants, the specific type, should it be a pigeon egg or a chicken egg or a turkey egg, seems to me to be secondary. It's like sort of a detail within it. To me, that sounds like a secondary point. It's not clear to me. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe people who ask for eggs, they want, when you come and you ask for a turkey egg, you have something very specific in mind. It wasn't clear to me what's the ikker kavanah the person asked for. So it wasn't clear to me whether this case does or doesn't fit with what he's saying. What's my main request when I ask for an egg? I'm not sure.
You're an answer too, right?
Answer too, yeah. I'm going to show you the screen. I'm going to show you in a second. Okay. And so if you look at answer two, according to my way of looking at it, okay, we understood a couple of the cases, three out of the four, but not the other one. Now, I have to just tell you something, which is, to be honest, it's not clear to me that the Chacham Tzvi's first and second answers are meant to be different answers. Okay? He says them separately. He says this, and then he says this. It's not so clear that they're really meant to be separate answers. It could be that really what's going on is they both go back to Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says is if he's very makbid, if there's a big hakpada, then we say umul marnafshi. So there may be two ways for there to be a big hakpada. One is if it reflects on the onus. The other is if it's the main thing he asked about. Okay? It may well be that these two are meant to complement each other. There's not just one way for it to be ikkel and nikbah the late thing. It's not, there's more than one way it can be extra method. And in which case, if you look at the boxes the way they are, we'd be able to explain all the cases. Okay, in each of the cases, there's one or two reasons why he's very machted about it. Okay, so it's not clear to me that the first and second answer don't go together. Okay, the third answer does not. But the first and second answer may really be one big hodgepodge, and it's really all variations of how you machted today, in which case we would understand all of them. Okay, the last answer for today is the third answer that comes to you. Okay? These first two answers, the first two answers that I told you, have to do with the transaction. Okay? They both have to, at least in my mind, don't look at it. It has to do with what's going on in this conversation. Am I responding to my ownness, or am I responding to the main thing you asked me? It has to do with the transaction between me and you. Sometimes I'm more careful to be honest, and sometimes I'm less careful. Okay? His third answer is from a different thing, which is, what does the Uman have to lose if he was lying? Okay? It's not so much thinking about what's happening now. It's not that to you I want to tell the truth or not. It's that if I trick you, if I mislead you, what will be the result? What will happen if I did the wrong thing? What will happen to me if I was not telling the truth? Okay? What, and focusing on the end of Lamar Nafshi, what will happen to my Nafshi, to my Parnasa, if I mess up? Okay? So he says like this. If what I'm lying about is something that only you didn't care about, then what's the worst that will happen? Yidden won't come back to me. Okay, I have lots of other customers. There's lots of people who are not Jewish who buy from me, so that doesn't bother me so much. My whole parnas is not on the line. I only say Uman Lamar Nafshi when my whole parnas is on the line. Okay, if I tell people that their medicine is no good, I give them medicine that's not really the medicine they want to, everybody cares about that. Everybody comes to a pharmacy because they want medicine. If I trick the Jews, the non-Jews won't come back either because they'll say I'm not giving them honest, real medicine. If I trick people about which meat is kosher or treif, so the Yidden won't come back, the Goyim couldn't care less. The Goyim won't care, it doesn't mean anything to them. And therefore, I'm only believed on the things that would be potentially affect my whole parnasa. Excuse me. Not things that only affect some of my customers.
Well, it depends where you're located.
So it's possible that if I'm in a place where everybody buys from me is Jewish, then those are all my customers. That's a side point. But he says it depends if I'm losing all my customers or just some of them. Okay, so now, if I tell people that something doesn't have shatness in it, okay, I tell them I made this with this suit with hemp, and it really ends up having linen in it, the guy couldn't care one bit about that. Okay, so there's no Uman Lamar Nafshi about that, because most of my customers could not care one bit about how I made the suit. I think that in the case where you hand the person, where the person walks into the store and hands him the threads, I'm just thinking that in that case, maybe even the guy would be makbid, not because they care about chatness, but because they care. If you come in with a specific request, I want my suit to have three buttons on the front, and you make it only with two buttons on the front. Okay? If a guy comes in with his own mishugana request, then they want that to be honored. Okay, so even God doesn't care about that. If you lie to me whether it's chatness or not, the guy doesn't care about that. But if the guy walked in with his mishugas, and he said to me, make me a suit with the following thing, this is my grandmother's piece of material, then maybe even a grandma mark on that. He doesn't explain that, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. It's not clear to me why this answer would be able to explain the din of tzitzis. Okay, the Goyim obviously couldn't care one bit about tzitzis any more than they care about chatness. So I don't understand why you should be believed. Because that's his whole client. No, because he's a guy who sells clothing. So they won't buy this thing. And if I'm a butcher, I sell kosher meals, so the only people who buy kosher meals are the Yidden. No, so he said in that case you're not believed. Right. There's no Uman Lamar Nafshi because the people who buy my kosher meat won't come back anymore. You're right, because it's this guy.
That's the logic.
Yeah, because the Yidden won't buy meat from me anymore, but Goyim won't buy
meat.
Yes, he says. So therefore.
I thought maybe the Goyim Yidden wouldn't even know that it's my kosher.
What do you mean? If they find out that I tricked them, if it comes out that I tricked them
with the size of the meat,
the Yidden won't come back. He said, big deal, I sell my Darsha customers. Big deal, I have Darsha customers anymore. Okay, so the tzitzis also. If they won't buy tzitzis for me anymore, okay, so I'll sell them shoes. I'll sell them and buy other things. So the Shulchan Aruch said that only in the case where the only thing I sell is tzitzis, I'm a tzitzis store, and therefore I'm going to lose all my customers. I didn't see that. Okay. What about the eggs? The case of the eggs. I told you it's a turkey egg. And for you, that's very important. You won't come back if I trick them and sell them shaped eggs. I wasn't sure whether Gaudium will care about that.
Trustworthy.
No, okay, trustworthy is not the only thing here. Okay, if he lies to me about Chatness, he's not trustworthy. But the guy says, we don't care, he should do. Doesn't bother. He didn't lie about that really something really important. Okay, so in this case, in this shot, I heard that. Because when a person walks in and says, I want a pigeon egg, he has certain things he wants also. You want it for kosher reasons, I want it for different reasons. So Gaudium could care about that also. Okay, I wasn't sure. That could be. I could hear that. Okay, now, come to vegetables. Come to vegetables. Okay? Here we could say what Akiva said, which is, when I sell things with vegetables, with bugs in them, okay, the Gaudium obviously don't care about those kind of bugs. Okay? How do we know the Gaudium don't care about those bugs? Because they sell it, but doesn't have the logo on it, they still sell it in the store. Doesn't stop them from selling it. People still buy that. It doesn't bother the Gaudium. We don't have to use our own seichel. We know they sell the same thing. They don't throw those lettuces out. They put them into a bag without a hashgach on it, and they sell it anyhow. So they don't care about that. So seems like that's the thing on the shatnas kind of a thing, which is the Yidden would care, and they'll stop buying from me, but the Gaudium won't care. So that one, it would seem to me we should not believe him. I wasn't sure about the medicines. Okay? Because like this. People who are not Jewish care about allergen-type things. So if you tell them that, let's say, it doesn't have any dairy in it, then not only people care about the milk inflation, it's going to care about that because they're allergic to dairy also. So allergen-type information is something that everybody cares about. But then I thought the following. What's really the difference if only Yidden care or going to care about it also? The Chamsi said the difference is, will I lose my whole parnasa or just some of my customers? So in that sense, when we talk about allergies, that's also only some of my customers. There's only some of the people who care about allergies. Okay, 90% of the population doesn't have any allergies. They don't care about anything. So whether it's, the divide is not really between Yidden and Goyim. It's not that Yidden care about it or even Goyim care about it. The divide is between, does everybody care about it or only some people care about it? So.
I would never buy from a company which turns out they lied about something, even if it's not relevant.
So that, you, before I told you this, Chamsi, I would have said the same thing also. Umar and Ashi means this, if he's not honest, nobody will buy from him. But the Chamsi, so you, that's, I'm telling you his side. Yeah. Okay, so it's a question on his side. His side is, it's only when the dishonesty will mean you trick, so to speak, me or what I care about. If it's not something I would have cared about, that won't bother me. Okay,
so. Those days that they have time concurrent.
That people fool each other.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
If it's something that people don't really care about too much, then
you're right that the question goes against what we think of. We think of Umar Ranashi is that if you're honest in business, then you'll keep your customers. If you're not honest, but he's saying, no, you have to be honest only if it's for everybody. Okay, so here, that's our third answer. Okay, this is how I split the greens and oranges. Okay, I thought that in this, according to this answer, you would not be led by the lettuce, but you would. It wasn't clear to me if you should be believed by the medicine or not. Okay, so that's for today. Emir Tashem, next time we're gonna do the other answers. Okay, and some old parts. Besides the other three answers, we have other parts to talk about. But Umar Meir Shishu, we're not just trusting just because of this din part. There are other parts of the Shaila. Also, Emir Tashem, that's for next time.